Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with spring break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players start playing with just $5 and get 100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code COLLEGEDRAFT to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Pour yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast, presented, of course, by DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, 5 teams, 7 years. Most of you guys already know that. A bunch of podcasts, including the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. A lot to talk about today on that show with Andrew Brandt, with everything going on with the Broncos sale and Deshaun Watson and the recent Rams contract. So make sure you check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Going to have an awesome Even Money betting podcast tomorrow and Fantasy Feast later on in the week. This is the College Draft Podcast. You can always check me out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Check us out at Ross Tucker Pod. Typically, my co-host each week is the great Emery Hunt at FBall Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube. But with multiple travel issues, Emery gets the week off, and we are joined by one of my favorite beat writers in the entire NFL. I literally read every single article he writes. It's at Jimmy Kemsky from Philly Voice, who's going to help me break down the NFC East draft choices because, unlike most beat writers, Jimmy actually looks at the other teams in the division and reviews where they're at, reviews their draft, and is not just Eagle-centric. Check him out on social media at Jimmy Kemsky, K-E-M-P-S-K-I. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for those kind words. How are you?
I am doing awesome. So I got to tell you this, man. So, you know, obviously, since I do the Eagles pregame on WIP and I do their preseason games, I follow the Eagles closely. Jimmy is one of a couple of Eagles beat writers that I read every single thing he writes. Big fan of the humor. Big fan of the time that he takes to actually cut up the videos and make my job easier and better, which is awesome. So, Jimmy, I got to tell you, man, I just discovered, because a lot of times I can't always read as much as I want to read. I just discovered this new app where I can have the articles like read to me if I'm working out. So like if I'm riding my bike or on a walk on the beach, or if I'm driving back early in the morning and my family's sleeping, or whatever the case might be. So the last two or three articles I read, I quote-unquote read of yours, it's this new app, and it's Gwyneth Paltrow's voice. So Gwyneth Paltrow reading some of, like, talking about Hassan Reddick, or what was the last one I just read?
That's great.
I mean, it's hilarious, man. It's honestly hilarious to hear Gwyneth Paltrow reading your articles about the Philadelphia Eagles to me.
Would it be weird if I downloaded that app just so that she could read my own articles back to me? Would that be a weird thing to do? Because I might, now that you mentioned that, I might have to do that.
It's amazing. like artificial intelligence, it's amazing.
That's right.
There's other voices you can pick. So I think you would really, really enjoy it. So, all right, here's what we're going to do. We've been going over, you know, the thesis here, right, is that people spend so much time pre-draft, but But then after the draft, it's like they talk about the team's first round pick and that's it. They just move on. We don't do that. So we're going to take the time. Yeah, sorry, man. We're going to take the time to actually talk about these teams' drafts and get the lowdown. So I want to start with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to read off what they did, and then I want to get your thoughts on what they did. So in the first round, they took Tyler Smith, the offensive lineman from Tulsa. Second round, Sam Williams, the edge rusher from Ole Miss. Third round, Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver, South Alabama. Fourth round, Jake Ferguson, tight end, Wisconsin. Then they got in the later rounds, Matt Waletzko, a big tackle from North Dakota. Deron Bland, a corner from Fresno State. Damone Clark, a linebacker, LSU. John Ridgeway, D-tackle, Arkansas. And Devin Harper, linebacker, Oklahoma State. So big picture, what were your thoughts, Jimmy, on the Cowboys draft?
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of their other drafts, particularly in the second round. I think for, every year it seems like they take some sort of risk player in the second round, whether that's a character concern guy or an injury concern guy. Like they took Kelvin Joseph last year. They took Jalen Smith, of course, injury concern guy back in the day. Tristan Hill was sort of a character concern guy. Randy Gregory is another one in the second round. This year they take Sam Williams in the second round. I mean, he had great production at Ole Miss, and he ran like a 4.46 40. His athletic testing measurables were sort of off the charts, very similar to like Montez Sweat, for example, who went in the first round to Washington a couple years ago. So for that guy to go in the second round, like why didn't that guy go in the first round? It's because like he's got some character concerns issue in his past, and that caused him to fall. And the Cowboys took him there in the second round. I thought the first round pick was kind of interesting too. Like they seemed their offensive line has for years been thought of as among the best in the NFL, but Tyron Smith has missed at least three games every year over the last 5 years. I think maybe even 6 years. And he's missed a substantial amount of time over the last two. So that's a guy that I think I compare him sort of to like a late stage Jason Peters of his career, where when he plays, he's still very good. But you know that at some point he's going to miss some games. So I think the Cowboys' initial plan for Tyler Smith is to sort of cross train at left tackle and left guard. So he's your immediate left guard of the present and the left tackle of the future, sort of a developmental player from Tulsa. He's got a mean streak. He's got good athletic testing. There's a lot of things to like. Had an obscene number of penalties in his final season at Tulsa. So much so that the Cowboys actually tweeted something out or they put it in an article or something. I think they tweeted something out, something to the effect of the number of penalties that he had, but they didn't think it was a big deal. But they addressed it in a tweet for some reason. And then you mentioned in the third round, they took the wide receiver, Jalen Tolbert, which makes sense with, having traded Amari Cooper. And they're left with Michael Gallup, who's coming off a serious injury. And, of course, they have CeeDee Lamb there. So he made sense in the third round as sort of a deep threat. But, yeah, it's a draft, at least in the first 2 days. All those picks fit needs that they had to address. You mentioned the day three guys too. No one really stood out there so much to me as, a weird pick. The one guy that I think could be a good developmental prospect for them is Matt Waletzko, offensive tackle from North Dakota. I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl. He had this ugly green helmet, and I was like, what school is that even? But he was holding his own against, some of the top-tier pass rushers at that event. And he's a guy that I think has really good athleticism, good size. I think the knock on him is that he needs to add functional strength, but he's a guy that could maybe start for them, a little further down the line.
Yeah, I think just looking at the day three guy, I think their fifth rounder, Damone Clark, a lot of people liked, but he had some type of medical issue.
Spinal fusion surgery, I think it is.
Yeah, that's not good. So, yes, it's interesting, by the way. A couple thoughts about the Cowboys. They've had a lot of issues with the guys they've taken that have issues. Like Randy Gregory, They've had a lot of issues with those guys, but it doesn't really prevent them from getting another guy with a lot of issues. I guess they've kind of just accepted that. My thought on Tyler Smith is twofold. One is, I think it's interesting and harder to kind of train a young player like that at two positions than maybe they think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's going to be starting at left guard. I wouldn't be putting him at left tackle. That, like, if you're going to start him at left guard, then I'd give him a ton of reps at left guard because that's not what he played at Tulsa. And then if something does happen to Tyron Smith, I don't think it's that great to have him, you know, for 10 weeks, all he's done is left guard, and then you just could throw him out there to tackle. I would say good luck about that. I'd also say, I guess one of my thoughts, Jimmy, and I'm not – look, I played for the Cowboys, whatever. Thinking about their O-line and the fact that they are now, like, drafting the heir apparent to Tyron Smith, I just was sitting there thinking, with the O-line they had, and the receivers they had for a couple years with Amari Cooper and Gallup and CeeDee Lamb, and Zeke on his rookie contract when they had it, and Dak on his rookie contract when they had it, they got to be up there among teams that have done the least with the most. I mean, they had star quarterback, star running back on rookie deals, a top five O-line, and I think maybe they won one playoff game, if that's correct, like with this group of guys.
I think that's right. I think they beat the Seahawks in the 2018 playoffs. 2016, they were 13-3. They were the one seed. They got beat by the Packers on that. Remember that? Remember the end of that game, by the way? Not to get off topic here, but that kick by Mason Crosby, it looked like it was going to go like, it was going to miss left, and then it corrected itself. And you can see the Cowboys fans like behind the goalpost. They're like, yeah, it's going to miss. And then, oh, it's good. Anyway, a little sidebar there. But, yeah, you're right. I think it's just one playoff game that they won since that 2016 season when they drafted Dak and Zeke. And those two guys finished 1-2 in you know, rookie of the year voting that year. And you're right. Like, when you have a quarterback as good as Dak was immediately on his rookie contract for – I mean, they had him on his rookie contract for 4 years because then they franchise tagged him. He played on the tag for a year, and then he wound up costing a lot more than he would have had they got it done, a deal done sooner. So yeah, they're in a not in as advantageous a position as they were during that 5 year stretch when they had those guys at, on much cheaper contracts. So yeah, they're a team that, that's going to have some challenges ahead for sure on that front.
Let's get to the New York Giants. Giants have been roundly praised for their draft, which I always think, like, I don't know. I mean, if they had the fifth and seventh pick, it'd be super weird if people were like, oh, that draft sucked, right? Like, of course you're going to say they had a great draft. They got the two of the first seven players, but they got Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal with the fifth and seventh picks overall. In the second round, they got Wandell Robinson from Kentucky, which I thought was really interesting because he's so similar to Kadarius Toney, who they just took in the first round last year.
That makes sense.
So that tells you there's something going on there. And then I've never seen a team do this. They drafted both starting guards from the University of North Carolina. They got Cordell Flott, a cornerback from LSU, Bellinger, the tight end from San Diego State, Dane Belton, the safety from Iowa, Micah McFadden, the linebacker from Indiana, and then I don't care about the other guys. Your thoughts, Jimmy, on the Giants draft?
Well, I'll say this. I thought what they did at 5 and 7 was smart because their number one priority heading into this draft was, of course, going to be fortifying that offensive line, which has just been atrocious over the – I mean, however long it's been. It's just been an O-line. Their O-line has just kind of been devastating to them for quite a while. And I would imagine they probably had Evan Neal rated ahead of Kayvon Thibodeau on their own board, just based on, you know, need and, you know, the quality of the player or whatever. But they did the smart thing because at 5, Kayvon Thibodeau, Neal, and Ikem Ekwonu were all there. So, you know, you're guaranteed at least one of Ekwonu and Neal if you take Thibodeau first. So I think other, I mean, would Dave Gettleman have messed that up in the past, like, would he have taken the lineman at pick number 5 and then maybe Thibodeau isn't there at 7? So I think they did the right thing by taking Thibodeau first and then being guaranteed either Neal or Ekwonu at 7. So I thought that was smart in the way they did that. But I'm with you. Like, of course, those two guys are good picks. And actually, the Cowboys draft board seems to leak every year. And those two guys happen to be the top two guys on the Cowboys draft board. I don't know how that lines up with the rest of the NFL, but I just thought that was interesting that the Giants got the Cowboys' top two players at 5 and 7. But yeah, so, I mean, Evan Neal fits a huge need. He can play left side, right side. So he'll almost certainly play right side with Thomas playing, you know, former fourth overall pick playing, you know, staying at left tackle. Thibodeau will immediately play. Obviously, he's a speed rusher. He's going to give them some juice off the edge. You mentioned Wandale Robinson. That's a guy that I hadn't actually watched much of prior to the draft. But after the draft, I started watching, you know, potential quarterbacks in the 2023 draft because, you know, I cover the Eagles, of course, and that's going to be sort of on people's minds as Jalen Hurts' season kind of goes on. So I started taking an early look at those guys. And the Kentucky quarterback who's Will Levis. I started watching a little bit of him at Kentucky. And when I was watching him, I was like, wow, Wanda Robinson is really good. Like that guy can certainly play, and he'll probably play in the slot for them. And he's got a lot of shake. He's got good hands, good route runner. So he was sort of an under the radar guy that wound up going, you know, top half of the second round. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, the role that he plays immediately in their offense. Because you're right, he does do a lot of the same things, at least offensively. Tony gives you a little bit more maybe as a special teams guy too, but just in the regular offense, I think he gives you a lot of the same things as Tony. And Tony was like missing OTAs and stuff like that, and like, you know, missing workouts and such. I think that was prior to the draft as opposed to after it. So that was sort of a red flag that they took a player so similar to him. One thing that I thought that was interesting that they did on that Wandale Robinson pick was they traded back from 36 to I think it was like 43. And the players that were available in that 36 to 43 window, I mean, it's a lot of star power there. Like you have like guys like Breece Hall. You have the cornerback from Georgia, Booth. There are a lot of players that they passed on to move back from 36 to 43, and they land on Robinson. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You mentioned the two guards from North Carolina. They, of course, had a great rushing offense there, particularly in 2020 with those two running backs, Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. They've had a great rushing offense there for a long time. Obviously, like I said, offensive line was their biggest priority, clearly, heading into this draft. And in free agency, they signed John Feliciano, center from the Bills. He comes over with Brian Daboll. And who's the other guy that they signed?
Glowinski, right? Glowinski?
Glowinski, yes, right, from the Seahawks at one point. And it's been a couple different places, I believe. So they signed those two interior guys. They drafted two interior guys from North Carolina, and they get Evan Neal, of course. But otherwise, like, I thought a lot of these picks that they made, and you mentioned Cordell Flott too, the cornerback, that obviously fills a need. They know that they were going to be moving on from James Bradbury one way or the other, whether that was via trade or via release, or they take Cordell Flott. The guys that they passed on there, like N'Kobe Dean was one of them that they passed on to take Cordell Flott. They passed on Malik Willis, who would make sense for them with Daniel Jones having, you know, they didn't exercise his fifth year option. You have another cornerback there in Marcus Jones that I thought was just a phenomenal player for Houston. They thought Flott was better than him, apparently. So they passed on a lot of different guys to take Flott there at that spot. I wonder if that'll burn them. And with Dean in particular, they got asked, Joe Shane got asked specifically about N'Kobe Dean and then passing on him to take Cordell Flott. And he like sort of went way beyond the answer that the easy answer that he could have given was just, yeah, he's a great player and a great career. You know, I'm sure he's going to have a great NFL career, blah, 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 blah. That was the easy answer. But instead he goes, oh yeah, he's falling for a reason. I don't know what you guys know, but there's a reason that he's falling. He like went out on a limb to specifically say that there's a reason that N'Kobe Dean didn't get taken until the third round. So, you know, that's sort of another interesting side plot to see, like, the kind of career that N'Kobe Dean has compared to Cordell Flott. But yeah, their draft, as you mentioned, when you opened up the Giants was, you know, you can't mess it up completely in theory when you have the fifth and seventh overall picks. But I thought their day two and day three picks were just sort of, you know? So, like, on paper, the players that they got and Thibodeau and Neal, great. And you, as you mentioned, like, widely praised. And, of course, they're going to be widely praised because of those two guys. But you take those two easy picks out of the equation, and I thought their draft was just kind of meh.
You also, by the way, Jimmy, cannot go wrong getting clothes from Express. Just got home, and I have a bunch of shipments that came in. I got a couple of different button-downs, which I love, a couple of polos. They've got the prints that absolutely pop that you need when you're going out this summer, which I love. I also got another pair of those shorts that I absolutely have been telling you guys about. Find something for every destination at Express, either online where I made my order or in store. All right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jamie, let's get to the Philadelphia Eagles. You hopefully know something about them. I know you know a lot about them. Their draft has been discussed quite a bit. They got Jordan Davis in the first round, Cam Jurgens in the second round. Davis, of course, the D tackle from Georgia. Jurgens, the center from Nebraska. N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker in the third round from Georgia. And then Kyren Johnson, the linebacker from Kansas, and Grant Calcaterra, tight end from SMU in the sixth round. Although I guess I would say, Jimmy, I feel like you got to include A.J. Brown in the draft on some level, sure. Right? I mean, they used a first-round pick to get him. So one way or the other, he's part of this group of players they acquired with these draft choices.
Yeah, they had three first-round picks. You know, heading into the draft. They traded one of them, of course, for a 2023 first-round pick with the Saints a couple weeks before the draft. But the day of the draft, they headed in. They had two first-round picks. One of them they used to trade for A.J. Brown. The other they used to trade up for Jordan Davis. Let's do Jordan Davis first. There was, you know, some quibbling over the cost to trade up. They traded a few day three picks in order to move up from, what was it, 16 to
15 to 13, I think.
15 to 13, right. So if they hadn't done that, they could have been stuck with nothing because 13 goes, you know, Jordan Davis goes to the Eagles, of course. 14, Kyle Hamilton goes to the Ravens. Both of those guys would have made plenty of sense for the Eagles. But then 15, who's left? You're either reaching for a corner there, maybe. You're taking a wide receiver, maybe. You're, you know, there's a lot of offensive linemen that were still available there, which they didn't necessarily need. So for them to be aggressive and go up and to the 13th pick, pay a little bit of a premium, maybe, to go up and make sure that they get that guy who, by the way, most athletic, as far as, you know, guys that have been measured since, I don't know, whatever, 1990-something, 1980-something or whatever, the most athletic defensive player ever to, like, head into the NFL. The only player that has been, you know, rated more athletic than him ever is Calvin Johnson. So, you know, at a minimum, this guy at 340-something pounds, 6'6", at a minimum, he's gonna help you in the run game, at a minimum. But with the athleticism that he has, you know, he's got a chance to be special as a pass rusher, too. He didn't have great production as a pass rusher at Georgia. Of course, that's a unique situation with the just sheer number of extreme players that they had along that defensive line. They were blowing teams out. They take out that whole first team, and they play their underclassmen because they have to worry about these guys transferring, like going to the transfer portal, which is almost like free agency in college now. If the guys aren't playing – there's Lily, by the way, in the background. I don't know if you can see her on the screen. I guess she just woke up. But yeah, so they're, they got to be fearful of these guys leaving for other schools. So Jordan Davis averaged 20-something snaps per game. And that was part of why that he did. And he comes to an Eagles defense. I think there's some concerns. I'm less concerned about the stamina issues, but he comes to an Eagles defense that has Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave and Milton Williams. And those guys are all going to rotate in and out. They're going to be able to stay fresh throughout the games. They're going to be able to have Davis go in and say, you know, just give me everything you got for, you know, 3-4 snaps. We'll get you out. And then we'll get, you know, we'll get somebody else in there. So they have a chance to be special along the interior of the Eagles defensive line in 2022. And then beyond, you know, Jordan Davis can sort of be a guy that they build around if he pans out the way that they hope he does. And then, of course, they get A.J. Brown. The Eagles haven't had, I mean, Eagles bottom 10 wide receiving core over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years or so. I guess, you know, they got a great year out of Alshon Jeffrey the year they win the Super Bowl. But that aside, they've really had issues. Of course, they draft Devontae Smith in the first round a year ago. Now you add A.J. Brown to that mix. I think Quez Watkins is a guy that had an underrated year in 2021. So that trio of Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Quez Watkins all bring a unique skill set, with Quez being the speed guy, Devontae being sort of that smooth route running guy that's going to make plays at all three levels of the defense. And then A.J. Brown, the guy that can, you know, take a short pass, break a couple tackles and make big plays. Also sort of underrated as a down the field threat as well. But those three guys, in addition to Dallas Goedert, really give the Eagles a set of weapons on that offense that they haven't had in a long time. You throw the offensive line, which in my opinion is top five in the NFL, may very well be the best offensive line in the NFL. And it's all right there for Jalen Hurts to succeed in 2022. It'll be a great, from the Eagles perspective, front office perspective, they can really see Jalen Hurts and whether he is, you know, worthy of being their long-term quarterback, going forward. Because everything's right in front of him. He has everything he needs in that wide receiving corps, the great tight end, the great offensive line. And if he can't succeed with that group, then I think it'll be crystal clear for the Eagles and what their plan should be in the 2023 draft. But it's all right there. The roster around him on offense at this point is all right there for him to succeed.
Yeah, it's perfect. It is interesting. The next two picks are the guys I want to focus on with Jurgens. Mm-hmm. I know. Yep. You had some issues with taking an heir apparent or a guy that you don't expect to play this year in right. The second round. And then the N'Kobe Dean thing is going to be very interesting, because to go at 83, there had to be a bunch of teams that had legitimate concerns about him to go that late.
Yeah, so Jurgens will start with first, and I did quibble a bit on the allocation of resources there. Normally, you have a center that's drafted in the first two rounds, that guy plays immediately. It's extremely rare to take a guy in the first two rounds and he doesn't play. And it's not just that he's going to be sitting for a year. So Jason Kelce every year is going to make his determination whether he wants to continue to play in the NFL or not. And the last couple years, it's been speculated that it was going to be his last year, and then he comes back in 2021. He comes back in 2022. 2023 could roll around and he can go, you know what? I still feel good. I'm going to keep going. So, like, I think the difference between a guy like Cam Jurgens and a guy like Landon Dickerson, who they drafted early in the second round to also be the heir apparent to Jason Kelce, or at least that's what we thought initially. The difference between those two guys is that Dickerson played multiple positions at Alabama and Florida State. He also had experience at guard, whereas Jurgens is more of just sort of a center only. The Eagles said that they're going to cross-train him at center and guard, and maybe he can help out at guard. I don't think he's going to start there initially. But if so that maybe changes the equation a bit. If he can also play guard, which again, he hasn't done, but if he can also play there, then that adds his value and it makes, you know, makes – I think that draft pick makes more sense if he can also play guard. But his profile is that he's sort of a center only, at least for now. But he, as far as the player goes, totally worth the pick where they got him. It's not a knock on him in any way as an actual player. I think if he had been drafted by somebody else, he's going to be starting right away at center and has a chance to be good. The athleticism that guy has is really impressive. And as Jason Kelce himself said, that guy is the guy that reminds me most of me. Of the centers that I've watched over the last, you know, 3 years or however long he's been doing that. So, yeah, I like the player. The use of resources you can quibble a bit on. And then Dean, I can't understand how that guy got to the third round. Like, I remember doing, I don't know if you've like done those, you know, those simulated mock drafts with any of these teams where, you know, you make all the picks for teams and it simulates all the other picks for the other teams. But there was one time like Dean was sitting there in the second round at pick 53. And I was like, yeah, okay, well, that's not going to happen, but okay, I'll take him here. He lasts until pick 80 something, 81, I think. The Eagles, you know, scoop him up there. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the Giants said there's a reason he's falling. I don't know what you guys know, but there's a reason that he's falling. Part of it was that he is small. And it's not just that he's short and light. He's also got short arms. He's got small hands. You look at his spider chart on mockdraftable.com, and it's like it's very condensed. It's a very unimpressive looking spider chart in terms of his height, weight, arm length, whatever. He didn't work out at the combine or at his pro day because of injuries and such. The injury stuff is a concern too, I guess, for some teams. The Eagles were adamant that their training staff felt that he was healthy and will be healthy this year. They said he's going to practice right away. He practiced in the, you know, the first set of practices immediately after the draft. He participated in OTAs. So they feel that he's ready to go. He didn't miss any games at Georgia. So whether that's a concern, a bigger concern for other teams around the league that wasn't for the Eagles, you know, I guess we'll see. And we'll see if, you know, he can remain durable for the Eagles as his career continues. But what the Eagles now have at linebacker, again, like we mentioned, their wide receiver position has been so bad over the last half decade or so. You can say the same thing for linebacker with this team. But they bring in Kaiser White in free agency. They add N'Kobe Dean. If either of those guys don't pan out this year for whatever reason, they still have TJ Edwards, who is still by far their best linebacker in 2021. So it's a position group that has been traditionally really bad. That is, you know, I wouldn't yet call it a position of strength, but they're certainly, they look like they're better suited to go into this 2022 season than they have been in the past.
Let's wrap up with the Commanders. Okay. They took Jahan Dotson, the wide receiver from Penn State, in the first round. Then the second round pick, Fedarian Mathis, a D tackle from Alabama, because the Commanders take a D tackle from Alabama high every year. And they all look the exact same. Third round pick I thought was interesting, Brian Robinson, the big running back from Alabama. Can't say I was expecting that. Then out of their later picks, I think the most noteworthy one was Sam Howell, the quarterback in the fifth round that everybody said was going to be a first-round pick, maybe number one overall before the year started. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite was the quote from Ron Rivera about why they like Jahan Dotson, in which he totally threw Sean Clifford, Penn State's quarterback, under the bus.
I didn't hear that. That's funny.
He was trying so hard not to, but he's like, you kind of look at who they're playing with and some of the catches they have to make. And, well, let's just say Dotson really impressed. It was amazing. Hilarious.
Yeah, that reminds me of when the Eagles took Jalen Reagor. The Eagles didn't say anything about TCU's quarterback at the time, but everyone made excuses for Jalen Reagor that TCU's quarterback was basically Satan. Like it was like the worst guy on the planet. And, you know, we found out later that that wasn't really why he was – not, but whatever. We won't go down that rabbit hole. But it does remind me of that. I hadn't heard those comments from Rivera. But Jahan Dotson, I actually really like him as a player. He was widely regarded as having the best hands of any receiver in this draft. Doesn't have super impressive measurables either in terms of athletic testing or in terms of size. He's a smaller receiver, obviously. As far as his athletic measurables go, he has speed. I think he ran a 4.4 or something like that. But his other testing measurables weren't great. So for him to be taken 16, you can understand why some people thought that that was a little bit of a reach. They did originally hold, the 11th pick, I think? And they traded back to 16 with the Saints, who completely lost their mind with all the trades that they moved, that they made to eventually wind up with Chris Olave. Again, we won't go down that rabbit hole, but the Commanders were without some of their picks this year because of the Carson Wentz trade with Indianapolis. So they got some of those picks back. One of those picks was used on Brian Robinson, but Dotson, I think, is a player that, you know, he might never be like an NFL star, but that's the kind of guy that I think plays in the NFL for more than 10 years and has a good career just because of his baseline skill set as a guy that just doesn't drop passes. He's a good route runner. He gets open. And while he doesn't have the size or the extreme athletic, you know, testing measurables, he's a guy that just has it can be very effective, in my opinion, in the NFL. You mentioned the Alabama DT. Of course, previously they took Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen, who fought, incidentally, each other on the sideline last year. So, you know, Mathis joins that group. Brian Robinson, you know, joins a running back room with, you know, Antonio Gibson, who had a great rookie season. Kind of, you know, his numbers kind of fell off last year. So I think that's a good 1-2 punch. And then, of course, they have J.D. McKissic out of the background catching passes. So that's a good trio of running backs, in my opinion. Maybe they're gearing up to run the ball a little bit more. And then you mentioned the quarterback discussion, which another Ron Rivera quote here. I don't know if it was necessarily a quote, but he mentioned that they went to Carson Wentz to tell him that they took Sam Howell to be a developmental quarterback prospect. The idea that they had to tell their starting quarterback that a fifth-round pick wasn't a threat to him is just – I mean, that just goes to tell you, like, what they think about Carson Wentz's mentality, that they felt they had to go to him after they took a quarterback in the fifth round. But he's a quarterback that is very intriguing. He started at North Carolina from day one. You know, he had a lot of good skill position players leave for the NFL in Daz Newsome, in De'Ami Brown. Of course, they lost Javonte Williams and Michael Carter to the NFL. So he completely changed his game in 2021. He ran for something like 800 yards or something like that, which was not part of his game. I mean, he could always run. He could always make plays with his feet, like extend plays. But he was never really a runner in terms of, like, you know, making plays, getting first downs and actually running with the football as much as he did in 2021. So he completely changed his game based on, you know, the loss of all these players that North Carolina had from 2020 into 2021. I thought it was a steal, honestly, in the fifth round to get him there. You know, he's got as in terms of just skill, he's a lot better than a guy like Taylor Heinicke, for example. So, you know, if Carson Wentz for some reason gets hurt or doesn't pan out or whatever, he's a guy that maybe can step in and show something. I don't think he's going to be like a good starter or a good player or anything, you know, anytime soon in the NFL, but I think he's a developmental guy that, you know, can eventually maybe compete for a starting job if they just sort of continue to be in quarterback purgatory. But at a minimum, I do think he can be a good backup. But I thought, again, the biggest takeaway for me on that pick was that they felt the need to tell Carson Wentz that it was just a developmental guy and not a threat.
Check him out on social media at Jimmy Kemski, K-E-M-P-S-K-I. You know where I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, Ross. Happy to be on.
Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for listening to the College Draft Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and The Business of Sports. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.